Talking about what?
Stuff.
What kind of stuff?
Stuff. How about Comaholics episode 9?
Is this episode 9 already?
This is episode 9.
Wow.
9.1.
Why is this point 1?
I don't know, Dirt. You tell me.
Well, there's no point 0.
There could have been.
No?
You were sick, remember?
Oh. So we didn't actually sit down to record, so you count that as the point 0?
Yes. It was a scheduled event.
Uh-huh.
I was well. I took care of myself, and I was ready for that.
Hey, Long John Silver's is a harsh mistress, is all I can say.
So, we are back, folks. A little bit of a hiatus. We had C2E2, and actually, the last time when we recorded, were we both sick?
We both had colds.
Yeah.
And we were snotty.
So, we're just kind of muddling through the weather. It's spring now.
Which means rain.
Yeah.
Rain and rain and more rain. Yeah.
So we're here in the Kamala.
Oh, I got a drink already.
HQ. Changed a little. I now have a rack for all my boxes. It's sitting under the Falcon.
That's what she said.
Got the Millennium Falcon watching over my comics. Added a little mini fridge.
How much was that shelf? That shelf you got your comic
on? I got that for $20.
That's a nice shelf.
Yeah, it holds 175 pounds a shelf.
Was that like a clearance special or something?
Oh, you know it.
Okay. So I can't get one. That's what you're saying?
No.
You got this cool rack to put your comics on. I can't have one.
Nope.
Douche.
And I got a keg of Belgian ale. It's a clone from. sorry, one of our guests is checking out one of the trade papers.
We'll be talking about it in a bit. So
no, I brewed up a batch of called La Fin du Monde. It's a clone from a brewery called Unibrow in French Canada, where the Canadians live.
French Canada.
Yeah,
I see.
Because they're Canadians. Canada.
Right. Oh, that makes sense.
Right.
Right.
They all wear.
They're not Canadians.
So what do you think they call their, you know, like we call them, you know, the Canadian suits, you know, when you wear like the, what are they called, Canadian suits? When you wear like blue jeans and the blue jeans.
What the hell are you talking about?
What do they call it? Canadian tuxedo. What do you think they call it in Canada?
Wait, whoa. I don't know
Sunday
what it.
Go to meeting clothes?
What's a Canadian tuxedo?
A Canadian tuxedo is when they're wearing like. Denim jacket, denim jeans, probably denim underwear,
plaid, flannel shirt, you know.
I've never heard of the Canadian tuxedo.
I'm sure there are.
That sounds like
there.
A move I need to try with my wife on some night.
Canada,
it's our anniversary, baby.
We're gonna do the Canadian tuxedo tonight.
All right, bend your arm. I don't know. I guess they just call it formal wear.
So we got a keg of Belgian ale, bottle of scotch. A lot to cover. We have been fortunate enough to have a studio audience member with us this evening.
Say hi.
Hello.
There you go. All right, that's enough out of him. Sit down, wait your turn.
All right,
so we usually start out the show talking about some of the books we've been reading recently, some of the stuff we're into. So why don't you go ahead and start with some of your stuff?
Okay. Right off the top, we were fawning over this before the show.
And what is this?
It's the 3D posters from Cross from Avatar Press.
Avatar is releasing a 3D special in June, I believe it is, and it's been delayed since December. Because apparently they're still tweaking the 3D.
I love it when you give out facts to this stuff.
Yeah.
Because then it gives more weight to the show.
Because the 3D special is going to have 3D glasses, you know, bound into it that you can rip out to wear. But some people don't like ripping apart their books. So they made this special pack, two posters and a pair of glasses. That way you can get the glasses out of there, get a couple extra posters. It was like, what, $1.99, I think?
So $1.99.
Yeah. So, I mean, great little package. Even if you're not into Crossed and whatever, for it's two gory 3D posters. And
don't let your kids accidentally hang this poster up in their room. That would be bad.
Unless you're a psycho parent.
Yes. Which brings me back to Psychopath, which we talked about earlier. I was asking, is it because Psychopath just came out that they delayed 3D? But
no, it's because they're tweaking the 3D effects. Okay. They want it to be good. They apparently got it back the first time, and they were like, yeah, that's cool, but it's not quite cool enough. So they've been tweaking the 3D for 6 months, so hopefully it's good. All right, what's next? What?
Also, I'd like to state that I actually kind of cleaned up my rack. And the stack,
that's what she said.
and the stack that I usually have saved for the show, I actually filed quite a bit of it.
Oops.
So we're going to be just going over some of the most recent stuff here.
Okay.
I picked this up at C2E2. It's called Red Moon, The Rising. This is one issue of a trade paperback by Cossack Comics.
Are those schnauzers?
Yes, this is a really... I just like the premise.
Are they werewolf schnauzers?
I talked to the artist.
Oh, he signed your book?
Yeah, he signed my little book here. And he told the dude that this is about basically these dogs.
Animals. I'm going to move this mic here.
Okay.
Aim it a little more towards you there. Okay, go ahead.
All the animals in this, you'll see the letterbox. They're not speaking, it's their thoughts.
Right.
But they understand each other's thoughts. So, like, the dog is thinking, the dog next to him hears him think.
Okay.
You know, but they also bark and talk and communicate as well. But then you've also got all the other animals, you know. Well, this Scotty here, his owners call him Scruffy, but I forget what his name is, really. I mean, it's all done in black and white.
I mean, the artwork looks nice. It looks very detailed.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of depth in this 3D.
In this 3D?
3D. Where am I getting off the, train? I've jumped the train. And anyways, there's a stray, which he's like a blue healer, and the stray convinces the Scotty to break free, and they start going on this adventure. Well, the Scotty, at the same time, is having these psychic premonitions that are tied to the moon about, like, kind of rapturous type stuff. I don't know. This is only the first issue.
Well, this is actually a prequel, it says. So this is before the first issue.
You know what? When I was talking to the artist, I was really tempted to just buy his trade, and I wish I would have. So I might actually have my local comic book store seek that out for me.
That would be me?
Yeah.
So I'll take a look, see if I can find this?
Yeah. But I really liked it. And I actually want to send an email to the artist and thank him for his time.
Well, hopefully he's listening.
Yeah. I hope he is.
And that would be David McAdoo?
Yeah, I told him I would talk about it. So
you can find them at RedmoonGraphicNovel.com, MySpace.com/RedmoonGraphicNovel, or Twitter.com/RedmoonGN. There you go. But yeah, I have to say the artwork looks pretty nice.
But there's a scene in there where these crows gang up on this cat and just tear him apart. It's pretty vicious.
All right, so what's next?
Minefield.
Is that the CIA guys that can read minds?
Yes.
Is that what that one is?
Okay. And the reason why I started on this was they had the C2E2 blank variant cover
Zero. You got a drawing on it.
And the artist, who also draws art for Soulfire, I believe. I think he did. Yeah, he did art for Soulfire. Because I think he signed.
Okay.
Anyway. So then Minefield. Yes, the psychic cops. They're doing basically the government decided that they're going to give these cocktails of like LSD, peyote, mushrooms. All these experimental drugs the government has been experimenting on since the 50s, 60s, and use it so that these people, these guinea pigs, can not only kind of get a glimpse into the future of what's going on, but they can, like, probe the minds of other people. Like, there's a scene where they break in on these terrorists that are making bombs, and they barge in on them, and this one terrorist is like, you know, stop what you're doing, I'm going to blow this place up. Well, one of the psychics was able to basically explore his mind and come to the conclusion that it wasn't actually wired up and he was bluffing and shot him and killed him. And so I'm actually kind of hooked. I just finished the second issue, so I finished 0, 1, and 2. It's got a neat storyline. I like the art. Flashpoint.
That's in my to read in the next 24 hours pile. I haven't read it yet.
Okay.
But I've been told it's great.
It is.
I've heard the artwork falters in a couple spots, but
well, okay. Basically, Flash wakes up.
Well, don't no. I'm a.
Should we not?
I haven't read it.
Okay. All right.
You cannot spoil Flashpoint.
We'll pass.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Okay.
Walking Dead Survivors Guide is not really anything to talk about other than it just talks about.
Right. It's, yeah.
The Flash 12, which is going into the road to Flashpoint.
Right.
Probably haven't read any of this.
No, I haven't been.
I'm a big Flash fan.
I have all the Flash issues, but I don't think I've read past issue 6. They're in my pile. Oh. They're in my big pile. I just haven't gotten around to actually reading them yet.
I really like, I mean, I've been slowly getting hooked to the Flash. Enough said. This one, there's like some doubt with Kid Flash and the Flash, and there's the whole negative Flash. Reverse Flash, excuse me, is messing up the whole time speed continuum. And,
the Speed Force?
Speed Force, thank you. And then that's kind of leading to the road to Flashpoint, which makes me think that a lot of what's going on in Flashpoint is directly related to Reverse Flash. Annual Deadpool, tell me you read it.
I haven't read it yet.
What?
Well, because I haven't read the Spider-Man one that's part one.
Okay.
Because Spider-Man's part one, that's part two, and then Hulk is part three.
This is a lot of fun.
I'm sure it is. I just want to read the Spider-Man one first.
All you Deadpool fans out there, check it out. Again, I guess like alternate realities and alternate dimensions seems to be the like general theme across the board for the big publishers right now. Same thing going on here. There's like an alternate Deadpool. Well, you haven't read this, so I don't want to talk about it too much. Anyways, good stuff. Cross Psychopath, issue 2.
I have them. I haven't read them yet.
Why do I do this show with you?
I don't know.
All right. I'm sure there's a lot of, there's probably not a ton of Cross fans out there because
it does limit itself by its subject matter a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it's art.
Look at the art on
like it.
Look there, at the flip, art on
flip
that
the book.
Yeah,
flip through the book.
Pull it out and just we'll see what.
Try not to vomit on it.
Okay. Oh. Tell me you caught up on Axe Cop.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Well, have you read Axe Cop online? Because they have a website where they do scripts.
No.
Oh, you haven't read any of those, huh?
No.
Oh. So, why do I do this show with you? All right. So Axe Cop, I love Axe Cop.
Oh.
I mean, that is, for written by a 6-year-old, it is brilliant.
It is. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of guidance as far as, like, the structure, but...
Well, and also, being the parent of a 6-year-old, I kind of, like, know exactly where this is coming from.
I think about these characters, and they're just so funny.
Well, I love...
Okay, you got Boomerang. All right, this is the evil team here in the third issue. I'm not going to try to, like, make sense of what's going on in Axe Cop.
Okay.
Just read it, fans. You'll love it. The general premise is you've got a cop who wields an axe, and he's got a team of dinosaurs that help him. And
but the cops don't like him. Like, other cops don't like him.
He's not a real cop.
Yeah, he's just a guy in a cop.
But he went
to
Axe Cop school. and it's, like you said, it's a 6-year-old? I thought it was an 8-year-old. 6-year-old?
6-year-old.
Okay.
It says right at the top. Look at the top of the book.
Oh, yeah. A 6-year-old drawn by his 30-year-old brother.
Yeah.
So it's Ethan Nickel and Malachi Nickel. The characters are so wild in this.
Well, there's a scene in, I think it's the first issue, that just sets the tone for the whole thing, where X-Cop...
Oh, the cup.
Yeah, he sees a cup of water, and he takes a drink, and all of a sudden there's...
stupid.
There's like a board or something going, hey, that's my friend! And he goes, what? You just drank his brain! Well, I didn't drink at all. Let me ask him a question. What's 2 plus 2? And he's like, banana. Oh, he's stupid! You drank his brain!
And that's when... And you know what? I like that they did that, because it's like, okay, this is when you realize...
It sets the tone.
There's no reality or
There's no rules. There's no rules to any of it.
It's limitless. It's brilliant. It really is. I hope they continue this series.
Yeah, well, this is a 3-issue miniseries they put together just to test the waters to see if it would do okay. And I've got to say, from a retail standpoint, we sell a lot of that book. Book sells really well.
It's like an acid trip.
Yeah.
Like the evil...
Are you admitting that you've done acid?
No.
Okay.
The unicorn brains? What do they call them? The unicorn head planet?
All right.
Moving along. If you haven't read Axe Cop, go get it.
Yeah, go buy Axe Cop.
Here.
All right, next.
The Avengers?
Not covered.
What do you think of the series so far?
It's my second favorite Avengers book.
Okay. What's your first one again?
Academy, actually.
Okay.
Academy.
Christos Gage, see? He prevails. I've always been a Christos Gage.
Yeah, well, Academy is a series I didn't expect to like at all. I actually expected it to be, I figured I would read the first 3 issues and then be done with it. But instead, Secret Avengers became the one that I read the first 3 issues and was done with Secret Avengers. I don't read that one at all anymore. About the 12.1.
Actually, you know what? After the last one I read, I was considering telling him to cancel.
Yeah, I read 12.1 and I liked that. I liked the 0.1 story.
Yeah.
But the whole WikiLeaks and taking them down and whatever. But, but the regular series, I just have not been into. New Avengers?
I like.
It's okay, but the last, 3 or 4 issues where they've been doing all the flashback stuff with Nick Fury in the 50s and whatever, I have not been digging that at all. So Academy, yeah, I like that issue. That's the 12.1. I like that issue.
Secret
Avengers.
Okay, I'm going to talk about Green Arrow. I've been following it since the new issue 1, and then trying to...
You weren't familiar with the character at all
before
that?
Okay. No. So it was all new to me. DC is very new to me. Marvel for a long time. I like it, and I kind of figured out early on when this whole, for those that are reading it, the White Lantern tree in the forest, I knew that there was a connection with that with Brightest Day, and it's finally coming to fruition here in issue 10, 11, and I'm sure it'll end in 12. Well, 11 is the final stand, but...
Well, that's what it says on the cover, but that doesn't mean anything.
Okay, moving along. Secret Avengers 12.
Nope, didn't read it.
Okay.
Like, for me, okay, here's. I'll just say this real quick about Secret Avengers. The thing that really excited me about Secret Avengers before it actually came out was the fact that Nova was on the team. Because I loved Nova.
And then it's gone. There's
no more Nova. Well, because
there's the battle.
Well, but Nova actually died.
Right.
He died in a different series. So that's why he disappeared from Secret Avengers. But I was a big fan of Nova, followed his series through the years. They kept pulling him into all these stupid crossovers and ruining his book. And it was a great book. So Nova is coming into Secret Avengers. I'm like, okay, cool. After a couple issues of Secret Avengers, he's just gone.
Right.
Because in the Annihilation stuff that's going on, he actually dies. So he's dead. And so he's not in Secret Avengers anymore, and I'm just kind of looking at him like, Moon Knight, I don't care that much about.
I don't care, I agree.
I don't remember, who else is in that one? Where's that 12.1? Let me see that real quick.
Maybe 12.1.
Okay, this is what I want to say. Okay, Black Widow, don't care about.
Right.
That Valkyrie. The female Thor chick?
She could be so much cooler. I think they dumbed her down for this. I mean, it's Valkyrie.
I guess. Beast is a character... I like Beast, but he doesn't really seem to do much in this.
Well, see, now they're tying into, this super secret thing going on now.
And then War Machine, I don't care about. Ant-Man, I don't care about. Yeah. So it's like now the one character I really cared about, they got rid of that, took out that book, and I'm just like, eh.
Well, they're trying to add depth now by mixing it up where, like, there's, like, this super secret organization that now Steve Rogers is privy to. And, yeah. Sorry. Not talking loud enough.
No, you're not.
No, there's this whole thing where Beast is involved with this super secret organization that Steve Rogers was not privy to, and now it's kind of the direction they're going with Secret Avengers. I'm going to hang on to it for a couple issues, and if it doesn't get much better, it's probably going to get dropped. And Detective Comics, Batman.
Dude, I love Detective Comics.
Look at the art on this one. Yes. Scott Snyder. I love Scott Snyder. American Vampire, I've got every single issue.
Jock is the artist, and if you guys, if you listen to Comic Nation TV is doing a podcast of the Caption Box this week, and in it, I mentioned Jock is the artist I'd like to see doing 28 Days Later. Jock is the guy currently doing Detective right now, so there's a connection there for everybody.
That's it. That's my stack.
That's your stack.
You got anything?
Yeah, I want to talk about
any contribution.
First of all, no, just go ahead and leave it right there. It's fine.
Okay.
You talk a lot softer than I do.
Oh,
so
I think you got a deeper voice than me. That's what it is.
Oh, is that what it is? I think I'm just a loudmouth, but whatever. Let's talk about a few books here, starting with 28 Days Later.
Yes.
That is one series I'm always up to date with.
Yeah.
That is a great...
So what did you think of the direction of the last one?
Okay, so basically, if you're not reading 28 Days Later, first of all, you should be. Second
and
of all,
spoiler alert.
Yeah. Issue 22, I think, was the last one that came out.
Uh-huh.
And in it, they finally wrapped up.
Yes.
They finally revealed Selena's motivations for going back into England. Like, you've gone through...
I didn't think they were ever going to do it. I thought that was just going to be a mystery.
Yeah, and there was always this thing, like, why would you go back after everything you went through?
She didn't even want the money.
Yeah, she just said, I'll do it. I'll take you in there just because. You know, whatever, fine. And so you just kind of like, okay, well,
get over it, and she's just part of the...
Right, and through everything that's happened in 28 Days Later, they've met different characters. They've gone through so many different... Because England really is very territorial. I mean,
right.
You know, people in Wales are
different
from people in London. You know, it's whatever. And so as they're traveling and going through all this stuff, you really get this feel for... You know, how society is broken down and the people who are still trying to live and the characters who are freaking out and all this stuff.
Well, and she's being hunted by that...
Yeah, and she's being hunted by this army guy who...
The colonel or whatever,
yeah,
major
or
whatever he was.
They got rid of him in the dumbest way, but whatever, it was fine.
I thought it was very shocking and just boom.
It was shocking, but it was shocking to the sense that it was kind of like, oh, that's the end?
He steps on landmines.
Yeah, he steps on landmines. So.
Yeah.
But anyway... The end of issue 22, you basically find out that on the day the world went to hell,
mm-hmm.
her husband became infected and attacked her, and
she had to kill him.
She had to kill him and basically pinned his body to the wall.
And there he stands, and there he lays.
And so
like,
for 22 issues, she's been fighting to get back to her house in the middle of all this crap so that she could take him off the wall and give him a proper burial.
Yeah.
And the issue ends with her laying on top of his freshly covered grave
mm-hmm.
and going to sleep, basically crying herself to sleep on top of his...
But you know what? The way they built her character through all those issues,
I was
not surprised at all.
It was perfect. Like,
it was like that's the kind... I'll tell you what, she was the strongest, one of the strongest characters I think I've ever seen in a comic book.
It's also one of those things where, like, I got to the end of this issue and I was... very afraid for a second that this was the end.
Right.
I was like, is the series over? I'm like, I don't want this series to be over. This
no, just
is great.
That chapter is over in her life.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, that would have been the perfect ending if you were going to end the series. And because that tied everything together. And you were just like, wow. But again, this is one of those books that it's licensed, so nobody really pays attention to it. The art is kind of inconsistent because they've had different artists. They've had villain artists and whatever, and it's just... You know, sometimes you read it and you're like, okay, this is cool. Other times you pick it up for the month and it's just kind of like, you know, people look kind of wonky and whatever.
Right.
But I like it. I mean, the second movie shouldn't even exist, okay, because that movie was atrocious. But in many ways, I like this series a lot more than I even liked the first movie that it's based on.
Oh, most definitely.
You know?
If I never knew that movie existed and I picked up 28 Days Later the comic, you know, like you've said many times before, this is an exception to one of those, you know, trademarked
books that are licensed.
Yes.
They're usually crap. And he's, I think it's,
Oh, God, what's his name? Michael Allen Nelson or something like that? Boom Studios. It's fantastic. If The Walking Dead didn't exist, this would be the de facto zombie comic book.
That's the fifth time you've made that.
Yeah, and I want to say that a lot. Because a lot of
say
people,
loud, say proud.
A lot of people talk about Walking Dead, and they're like, "Oh, that's
it's the best ever." It is the coup de grace of all zombie books.
And it's like it only is, I think, because it has that edge on the artwork being more consistent throughout the series.
And you know, come on, the TV show has spiraled into its own cult classic.
And its own storyline too. But
good
I mean,
grief.
It's,
AMC is a juggernaut with that thing.
But 28 Days Later, the comic is really, if you're not reading that, you need to at least go out and get the first trade.
But
and
you better have a little fortitude to you because it's very dramatic. It builds you up.
Well, just like Walking Dead,
yes.
There are parts that are
it
difficult
builds
to read.
It builds you up, it makes you love the characters, and then they die in the most horrific way or most obscure way possible.
Or a lot of times, the most heartbreaking way.
Yes.
Because a lot of them deal with
sacrifice.
Like
the little kid.
Yeah.
When they ejected him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, and don't forget stuff like what did they call it? The box, the cage.
Yes.
What was that thing called?
Oh, the mannequin.
The mannequin. Yes.
Where they put her in that cage where the zombies
could reach. Yeah,
yeah.
They
so
could reach
far,
in, but they were just
like
fingers.
Like this. And if she moves, they give her.
And they leave her out there all
like
night.
There's like 80 of them.
Yeah.
Like
swarming
all over
around
this
the
big
thing.
Metal cage. Like picture a jail cell out in the middle of a field. You know,
and these things
living,
are reaching at her, and they just
human.
Can't barely touch
yes.
her, and she's got to stay in there.
I mean, they're
all
like
night.
This close to her.
Yeah, I know.
Right, you can't see her doing, but like right up to her face. Oh, that was brilliant writing.
Yeah, that was great.
So who? Oh, so is it changing of a guard? Do we have the same artist, same writers?
You know, I don't know. I didn't see what the next issue brings. I just saw that there are more issues coming, and I was like, okay,
yeah.
Well, the series is Whew! Over. Okay, so
next for you.
Next for me is Batgirl.
I've been collecting them. I haven't read them yet. So.
Really? Okay. Well, Batgirl is, it's like the fun Batman book.
Okay.
It's the, you know, Batman.
Lighthearted?
Yes. Because a lot of the Batman books nowadays are the dark and brooding ones.
They're all so dark.
And Batgirl is the one, you know, Oracle will make appearances. Robin,
okay.
Damian Wayne will make appearances. Red Robin will make appearances from time to time. And this is the book where they're allowed to have one-liners. They're allowed to make their little quips back and forth. There's a point where, you know, Batgirl is a college student. So she's like 18, 19 years old. And there's this one part where the police are hunkered down, you know, getting ready to fight this villain. And she swings in and she sees this cop there who she's had some dealings with. And she's like, hey. And the detective's like, hey, how's it going? And she swings on into the fight. And Commissioner Gordon just stares at him. And he's like, what? You talk to Batman? And he goes, yeah, but I'm pretty sure Batman's legal. You know, and they throw stuff like that,
right.
You know, which you don't get in the regular book. And I can't help but think, like, if they put this on TV as the next Buffy the Vampire Slayer, this would be a phenomenal hit. If they found the right girl and put it on TV.
The right booty.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this book is awesome.
Oh, well, I mean, come on, Batgirl is pretty hot.
She is. Yeah.
Very hot.
Who was the original one?
Barbara Gordon was the original Batgirl.
Yeah, the actor.
Oh, on TV?
Yeah.
Was that Yvonne Craig?
I see the hamster wheel.
So. Yeah. There it goes. Took a minute to find the file in the cabinet.
Your pop culture encyclopedia for seeing
yourself.
Well,
there we go. Next up, this is a book. I will guarantee you, nobody listening to our show has heard of this book. It's called Buck. And it's from 215 Inc. INK.
Sorry, I just had like a Kill Bill
flashback. My name's Buck. Okay, so anyway, this book it's a black and white book.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's from this company that like you know almost nobody's ever heard of. But this
are they
book,
from like Yugoslavia or something?
No. But they're just a small independent company.
Kyrgyzstan Press.
It's a black and white book, except the blood is in red.
Ooh.
So it's kind of a neat little gimmick that they have there. But it's basically the story of this hunter who goes out in the woods and finds this deer who's like 20 feet tall.
Oh my gosh.
And it's a monster. You know, it basically likes, and he's sitting there with the hunter buddy and the thing sees him and they freak out and they start to run and it impales his buddy, tears his body in half.
Huh.
You know, and he's like actually.
So it's
like,
Revenge of the Buck.
So it's basically it's your monster movie. It's your 50s monster movie.
And they're hunting this 20-foot buck.
Yeah, basically.
Wow, this is very like B movie.
It's small town, out in the woods. There's there's a sheriff who is
Don't go there! There's a giant buck! No, we have to go.
But it's great.
Town drunk, don't listen.
But I love it. I love everything about this book. And for a company nobody's ever heard of, for a book that nobody, I will guarantee you nobody's heard of this book. You want to find it. 215 Inc. INK, the book Buck. You gotta check it out. Daredevil Reborn. Have you been reading that?
Yes.
Love that book.
I don't think I've read the fourth one yet.
Okay. Well, I'm not a big fan of Black Panther having taken over his series.
For that to end. I was so excited when that started. I was like, yes.
Well, did you see what they're doing to Black Panther now? Now he's the United States, so now he's becoming this like Patriot Panther or whatever. He's got a red, white, and blue suit.
When is this happening? This hasn't happened yet.
No, it's happening in like two issues, I think.
No, I did not see that.
So anyway,
the Patriot Panther.
Yeah, something like that. It's something really crazy. God. But
so does he have like a PP on his chest, like PP?
Well, who knows?
PP.
But Daredevil is getting his own series again after this.
Is he going to go back to
ongoing,
Man Without Fear?
Because issue four ends. With
I
him
saw that
feedback.
In the previews that I saw there was a new DD coming out.
So yeah, that Daredevil Reborn has been great. That's been a great series. That's another one of those small town type B movie type stories. Dr. Solar, Man of the Atom from Dark Horse. You probably haven't read any.
I read like a zero or a one way back.
Okay. There are four books that are part of this line.
Dark Horse, right?
Dark Horse. Yeah. There's Dr. Solar, there's Magnus Robot Fighter, there's Mighty Samson, and there's Turok Dinosaur.
I'm reading Magnus Robot Fighter, and that's about it in that book.
Magnus and Mighty Samson they're okay, but to me they don't feel like anything special yet. Turok, I'm still kind of not sold on. Like, I read it, but I'm just kind of like, I don't know. Solar, I love. Dr. Solar's been great. That's the one book that stood out from that.
I started reading Turok when it came out.
In the 60s?
60s and 70s.
From Dell Comics and Gold Key.
Yeah, and they were the Indians hunting dinosaurs.
Yep.
Is that what it is now?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah, that's what it is. They basically just restarted all those characters in today's time. But Fear Itself. Have you been reading Fear Itself?
Only, let's see, there was, what have I read? I've read, like, a couple of the number ones that just came out.
Yeah, well, okay.
I was getting ready to read the ASM version, or ASM 1, or whatever.
Fear Yourself, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here, here's in a nutshell what I can tell you. Odin is a giant jerk and a wuss, and everybody in Valhalla follows him because he's a leader, but nobody apparently likes him, and he gets into a fight with Thor. And a bunch of hammers land on Earth at different time periods. They get thrown out of Valhalla for whatever reason.
What, he knocks over a toolbox?
And so random people are going to find hammers and become Thors on Earth. And apparently one of them is the daughter of the Red Skull. That seems to be the whole thing of
the only, I have been interested in the whole build-up to the daughter of the Red Skull thing.
She's an interesting character, but as far as this series goes, it's like another Siege, where I read an issue and I'm like, okay, what was the point of this?
And you know what? And if it does turn south, I'm disappointed because when Asgard fell, the first thing I thought to my mind was like, oh man, how are they going to clean this up? You know, how are they going to make this right?
And then there's nothing. Infinite Vacation from Image Comics. Basically, okay, you know the whole theory of parallel universes?
Right.
Every decision you make, there's a parallel universe for someone where you make the opposite decision.
Mm-hmm.
Or a slightly different one. There's an infinite number.
Or you're green.
Right. Whatever.
Like history, like in Futurama.
Right. History is different.
Remember they had the boxes in Futurama and they jumped in all the boxes and they were all tied.
Okay, well, anyway.
Together. All right, well.
In Infinite Vacation, they have these boxes. And what they can do is they can bid on transferring themselves into one of those parallel universes. So basically, like, this guy's at a cafe, and he sees a girl, and he kind of looks at her, but he's afraid to talk to her, and he finally works up the nerve, and he goes to talk to her, and she's walking out the door. So the first thing he does is grab his little box and try to find the universe where she doesn't walk out the door and bid on the ability to jump into that universe.
That could be really handy.
Well, here's the thing. She eventually,
like that time I pooped my pants.
Right.
I could go find the alternate universe where I remember to go poop, so I didn't poop my pants.
Exactly. Yeah, but no, that universe never happened.
Oh, okay.
No matter what universe you're in, you always.
Okay, so he goes and finds.
Well, no. So as he goes to look it up on the box, she comes back and yells at him because apparently she's part of this movement of people who are anti-jumping universes.
Okay.
So they think, you know, it should be pure. You should stay in your own timeline. You shouldn't jump around from universe to universe.
Like that terrible movie Jumper?
I never saw Jumper.
It was terrible.
Well, okay.
Same thing.
But so basically, it's more of this, like it starts out, you're thinking like, oh, this is kind of this goofy thing about this guy who jumps universes, but it turns into more like this philosophical, like what does it mean to make choices in life? What does it mean to be this person in this universe? You know that someone else could have made the opposite decision. You could have made the opposite decision, but you didn't.
Right.
You know? So it deals with a lot of that stuff. So that's kind of interesting to read. On the flip side of a book like Infinite Vacation is Jonah Hex. I read Jonah Hex every month. Love that book. It's still, you know, bandits come into town and he shoots their eyeballs out, leaves them to die for the crows. You know, I mean, that's what it is month after month. Same thing.
And you hated the movie, right?
Hated the movie.
Like they had a bunch of mystical, magical crap that's not in the
stuff that has nothing to do with it. The last thing I'll note here real quick is, Archie Comics.
I never read any Archie.
I know
Comics.
You never read any, but they launched.
I read them when I was a kid.
They launched
a
new
series. What did you think of it when you were a kid?
Well, wait. Thought it was, but this is not an Archie book. This is from Archie Comics, but it's not an Archie book.
Right.
They launched a new series.
Okay.
It's called Mega Man, based off the video game.
Oh, okay.
So the Mega Man characters and all the video game, characters are now a monthly ongoing series. From Archie, because Archie also does the Sonic the Hedgehog book. So it's an all-ages book, you know, if you're 7 years old, you can read it. If you're 30 years old, you can read it, you know, whatever. It's safe for everybody, but it's one of those fun, easy to read, you know, lots of friendly action, you know, robots appear and he breaks the robots, you know. To keep
well, see, I've been reading Mouse Guard to my daughter late at night, so.
That's a little deeper. That's a little
deeper. You know what, she doesn't mind.
Well, it depends on the story.
Well, I mean, we just started reading Fall, and I met the artist slash writer. He does it all.
Yeah, David Peterson.
Yeah, at C2E2. Great guy. Real personable. Really smart. Actually, he was doing some artwork for Dark Crystal, and I was hoping that he could do it,
right.
But then didn't.
Right.
Which I saw some of the stuff he was doing just sitting at the table. I was like, oh, you do Dark Crystal? He's like, no. But anyways, I'm sorry, I'm sidetracking. But, you know, it is kind of fun for me with, you know, because I have a 5-year-old. There are times when, you know, because she knows that I'm like an avid lover of comics.
Right.
You know, I read like 2-3 single issues a day. You know, she's exposed to it. Just like you, you know, I give her like free comic book day. You know, I'll get her some of the Boom Studios stuff and things like that. So, yeah, I it's great. You know, I get to share with my child.
So, Mega Man, all ages title, fine for everybody. And it's a pretty good story. So,
okay.
It feels like watching one of those Saturday morning cartoons again.
You know? Ugh, like the Snorks.
Well, no, like watching Masters of the Universe or Brainstar or G.I. Joe, Transformers, whatever type of thing. So.
Yeah. All right. Before we end this, let's talk about what we got coming next. We're gonna do The Sword Volume 3, and then we're gonna do Awakening, and then we're gonna finish up with The Killer. So we've got two Archaea Press issues, and then who does is it
Image Sword
The Sword.
So
we're gonna take a quick break. We refresh our beverages, and we'll be right back.
What it is, friends. Sween Hollick here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
We're doing, where's Sword?
Sword. There it is.
Take Sword for $1,000.
Sword for $1,000, Alec.
All right, now.
The Rapist.
You and your silly dingle.
We've been talking about S.W.O.R.D. for quite a bit here on Comaholics.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it never ends.
Well, there's only one more volume after this.
Okay.
So, which I need to order, by the way. But S.W.O.R.D. is something we've been reading here on Comaholics. If you have not been listening to the show, go back into the archives, find the old episodes. We've been reading
S.W.O.R.D. You have to cross the River Styx with, a skeleton guy.
Was that episode 3, maybe, when we did the first one?
Yeah.
So, S.W.O.R.D., just for a quick recap, this girl in a wheelchair, her family gets attacked by these people with supernatural powers of earth, wind, air, fire.
Not the band.
Which, that actually might have been a lot more fun. But they attack her family. They kill basically all her family members. They say they're looking for some S.W.O.R.D. and nobody in their family knows what they're talking about. And this girl escapes the attack and finds hidden underneath the house, this S.W.O.R.D. And when she picks it up, it heals her body. She can walk again. She can move. And then she suddenly finds out she can do more than that. She can leap over buildings. She can deflect bullets. She can.
Because her father is Demetrius.
Yeah, her father is this 5,000-year-old guy who's at war with these supernatural beings.
That came down from a mountain. Their mother was a god. Or no, their mother was conceived by a god.
I thought her mother was human. But she had sex with a god.
Yeah, with a god, yes.
So it's kind of like that whole Olympus, Zeus, Hercules
thing. They come
down
from the mountain. Demetrius, there's a S.W.O.R.D. made, and it's meant for the children, the three children that are born from.
So they can rule the world or whatever.
Yes.
And so anyway, this girl basically wants to have revenge on these people. It's like Kill Bill.
Yes.
She wants to have revenge on all these people.
It's very Kill Bill. I don't think we've made that analogy.
I didn't think about that, but you mentioned Kill Bill a little bit ago when we were talking about Buck. And so,
no,
I
did, but thanks.
Whatever.
Proper violence in that thing. I love it.
But
a recap of some of the critique we've done for this is we find it to be really crisp, clean, neat art.
The artwork looks almost like still frames of animation.
Right.
It has a very clean, crisp look to it.
Like airbrushed in.
Into it. The colors are very subtle, muted a lot of times.
For example, there's there is no imperfections on the people's faces. It's very
Well, they use sparse line work. They use as little lines as possible to get it across, but without leaving anything to the imagination. You never wonder what's going on. It's all very clear.
It gives a dramatic effect when there's violence.
Right. Because when things get dirty and violent and gory,
heavy.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
And we've talked about
it. It's rife with blood and gore, you know?
So this is Volume 3, Earth, that we're talking about now.
Volume 1, I was interested. Volume 2, I got a little bored.
Yes, I agree.
Volume 3, I'm excited. I was really excited with Volume 3. I was like, okay, it's moving.
Okay,
it's moving now.
Volume 3
We're building up to the denouement, the end, you know?
Volume 3 is much more exciting than Volume 2, but it made less sense in a lot of points.
It didn't explain as much in Volume 3 because there was a lot of action in Volume 3. There was a lot of explanation towards the beginning as far as, I'm bad with names. Who are they after in Earth here? What's
Earth? I don't remember. It's the Earth guy. The guy who gets naked and make drugs in his basement.
Oh, yes.
He
likes to build buildings and manipulate people.
Right.
Okay.
I think it was a book, How to Build Buildings and Manipulate
People. There's basically two dudes and a chick that this girl's fighting to defend her dad's honor, Demetrius, who was killed, and her family. And I was hoping that they would save the chick fight for the end. Which they are now.
Yes, they obviously are.
So I'm pretty
are.
Thrilled about that, because she's obviously the smartest of the three.
The female godchild has basically manipulated the other brothers against each other.
Right.
So that she will come out on top.
And you don't discover it until Volume 3.
And you also find out that there's been an incestuous relationship.
That was in Volume 2.
I think it was in this volume.
That was 2.
Okay, well, whatever.
It carries over in 3.
So it gets a little weird at some point, but...
Here's the problem I had with it, okay? Mm-hmm. They use a device in telling their story where something big happens, and then it cuts to basically news footage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like she jumps over a Walmart, she slices a cop car in half, and she runs across the highway. And people go, what the hell was that?
We gotta get her!
So then it cuts to this shot of people on the nightly news going like, I don't understand what these people are doing, but we gotta track them down and stop them.
They're gonna kill all kinds of people. And then get my neighborhood.
But then it'll cut to like the other side where someone's like, well, this just shows that the military-industrial complex has been keeping us all slaves at bay while their super-powered weapon people are trying to take over the world and enslave us people.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of some,
I hate
like,
those people too.
It reminded me like some of those old Batman issues where you'd like cut to like these like news media.
You're talking like The Dark Knight and stuff like that where it cuts to them like sitting around talking, the two different sides arguing. That was in The Dark Knight, yeah. Dark Knight Returns and whatever. Okay, but here's the problem. Okay, in Volume 2, she would, you know, jump over the supermarket. She would deflect bullets with the sword, whatever. And it was in, like, a crowded parking lot at a shopping center, whatever. So this news crew would appear, and it'd be on the news, and people would turn on the news and see this crazy chick, you know, picking up cars and whatever. And it's like, okay, wow. In this volume, they go to the drug lord's hideout in the middle of the desert, surrounded by guards in a remote location, and the guy dives into a mountain to become this big mountain monster creature because he controls the earth, which I'm totally fine with, except somehow, in the middle of the remote desert, there happens to be a news crew with a camera going, Jim, oh my god, there's a 70-foot-tall earth monster.
No.
Yes.
You're wrong.
No.
Because what happens is he throws the rock. He throws the rock. It lands in like, no, it lands in some like Juarez,
well,
Mexico.
Well, yeah, they're in the baseball stadium
and then
or soccer stadium
off
or whatever.
Juarez and lands in a stadium.
But they have, but
the news person was there at the, not there at the remote location, the news person was there at the town.
Let me see the book, because the person was talking about the giant monster. Yeah, how do they know where the hell the rock came from in the middle of this well, it bounced here, so obviously using a map.
This is your biggest problem with Volume 3?
You got your NASA scientists.
Because the moment, well, no, here's the thing, because it's like the moment you see this news crew, it's like, oh, there's this giant monster, then it's like, wait a minute. This is the middle of the desert. How is this on the news?
Because he skipped a rock across half the planet hemisphere.
Well, yeah, but then they're going to be in Texas or whatever about it.
See? It lands in Texas.
Okay, wait a minute. It's supposed to be high, blah, blah. Where did that come from? Okay, we now have disturbing live footage from San Juan del Rio where there appears a giant rock appears to have originated from. What you see here is real and not a hoax. Oh my god, we have just arrived on the scene and I can't believe what I'm looking at. I've never seen anything like this.
That was the worst I have picturing in my head.
We just happen to have a news crew from Texas down in southern Mexico able to get there live on the scene to show the giant rock creature.
Well, you know
what? That's a news department.
Yeah.
I can see the
Becky, quick, there's a rock skipping through the air. Find out where it's from. Go. Take the Concorde down the middle of nowhere, Mexico.
Lois Lane couldn't get there. Quick enough.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, the moment I saw it, it pulled me out. It pulled me out.
That
because
pulled
I'm like,
you out? Just
that pulled
one?
Me out, yes. Because I'm like, that's retarded.
Man, he's so critical.
He's probably the guy at the Star Wars movies that goes, you know, there's no explosions.
actually, I was the guy going, you couldn't hear those laser beams on the new Death Star. but yeah, seriously, I'm reading this and I'm like, How did they get a news crew out in the middle of nowhere in Mexico, like 2 minutes later?
Okay.
You couldn't get a news crew on top of the CNN building within 5 minutes after planes crashing into the side of it. How are they putting people in a van and getting them down the middle of nowhere in Mexico? Not happening, my friend. Not happening. That's where I draw the line.
Coinky dink.
Oh my goodness.
We're talking about navigating through Mexico. I make no excuse.
I don't know if we're going to make it through this podcast, folks. All right. But here's my argument.
Oh, by the way, I just want to point out that we have switched to the scotch now. So okay. We are all drinking scotch instead of beer at the moment.
Fire bad. No, so you did not like Volume 3?
Well, no. I will just say that moment kind of, that's like one of those moments where
It's just like...
Okay, what did you think of the fight scene with the giant rock monster dude?
I love the fight scenes before the giant rock monster. When, like...
You didn't like when she, like, stuck the sword in herself?
I'm just saying... Well, hold on a second. I love the stuff where she's getting into fist fights with dudes and she's punching them in the face and their jaw is flying off.
Or when she tears her jaw. Or her jaw gets torn off.
And she picks up her jaw and just kind
of... No, not only does she pick up her jaw, but she has to tear the flesh off of her face first.
Right.
To reattach it to herself. That was bad.
And the artwork on something like that.
Yes.
That would have been very confusing.
No,
the way some artists have done
it. They made it look perfect.
And they pulled that off perfectly. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I was really moved by this book. I thought it was fun. Like, I tore right through it. I was just like, oh, ooh, ooh, ooh,
but
ooh.
To me, that's like saying, hey, we're this galactic empire that builds this giant planet-smashing device, but if you happen to drop a bomb through this exhaust port, the whole thing's going to blow up.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It was just one of those moments where it killed a lot of the tension, because you're just suddenly like, this is so ridiculously stupid. Then suddenly, we're live on the scene, and there's a giant rock monster! You know what I mean? It was just like, come on.
Kind of go back to the B-movie theme that we had going on.
Right, but in a bad way here.
I have
BB.
The golden BB?
Yeah, the single round that took out...
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
When the hood was sunk by the Bismarck, it was one round, went through not so well a protected part of the deck, and hit a magazine...
Well, yeah, but
blew the ship apart.
But that's a little bit different than the random Texas news crew being in the middle of Mexico.
Well, no, I mean, you use the exhaust port.
Okay. Well, but that's a lucky chance as opposed to finding this massive flaw that no one noticed while building this massive device.
You don't have those rebel scientists working for you, yeah. Do you?
You always wear the stupid black uniform, right?
That stupid helmet.
Yeah.
There's 4 feet of helmet in the back of my head and nothing in the front. What the hell is wrong?
Giant computers?
It's like those guys
who are like working the switch and they have the duckbill on the back of their
head. And they ride bicycles to get to that part of the job. It's their aerodynamic helmet.
Okay, so anyway, back to Sword.
I will say, though, the
whole thing with the news crew, that to me was the only thumbs down. To me, that was a pretty big flaw in telling the story, but I still, overall, I enjoyed this volume, and I enjoyed it a lot more than Volume 2.
Okay.
So if you read Volume 1, and you're like, this is great, and then you read Volume 2, and you're just like,
go get Volume 3.
Volume 3 kind of redeems it.
And Volume 4, cat fight, I smell a cat fight.
So we'll get Volume 4 probably for Kamahawk
12. I have another complaint. I complained about Volume 2, and it happened with this one. Come on, guys.
The binding?
Yes.
Yes.
The binding, yeah. I had to super glue this back.
Oh, did you really?
Yes. So, Image, sorry. Just saying. I had to super glue this back. And you know what happened to 2 now?
Did it happen to Volume 2 or is it Volume
3? Volume 2 and now Volume 3.
Okay.
So, I had, you know, it's not right. I did it as best I could.
Yeah, it's not like Archaea.
No.
Archaea makes a hardback
yes.
that's made to last.
Yeah.
You know.
And didn't you say earlier they have to put in there where it was made?
Well, I don't know about these now.
Yeah.
Monthly books, they have to put that in there. I don't know. This is an older trade.
All apologies, no offense, but facts are facts, and I'm supposed to be a critic.
So people who are, if you're one of those book snobs that
likes
to put, you know, the book on your shelf. Oh, was it China? There you go.
China.
Yeah,
well, I work for a major. I
she's
work,
really lost a lot of.
I work
looks,
for a major so, retail store
yeah,
that makes a lot of stuff in China,
camp.
So you know.
But still, overall, I enjoyed the story, and I thought there was a lot of stuff that they came up with the fights that were, you know, with the jaws, with stabbing herself, knowing that she's going
to
heal,
oh,
so she's not worried about stabbing
with
herself.
Uzi, and she cuts both his arms off midway. Oh, that's
right. Because normally in a situation like that, someone cuts the gun. They cut the guns in half.
Right.
And instead, she just chops
no,
the arms
cuts
off.
Cuts his arms off. Just so, part of his arm.
So yeah, overall, I think that's a good. It definitely gets a whole lot better in Volume 3 than Volume 2. So I'm looking forward to Volume 4. Finish up the series. Like I said, we'll do that probably in a couple episodes. Finish it up with Volume 4. But Sword is one you definitely want to check out.
The Sword, Alec.
And that was from, what's-his-face actually recommended this.
Our DJ House.
Right.
Which we hopefully he'll join us again.
I mean, hopefully he's listening to this. He's still alive. We love you, buddy.
We miss you.
Come back.
Word.
But anyway. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about Awakening from Archaea.
Yes!
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.PopCultureNetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to PopCultureNetwork.com and click on Store.
All right, so you were telling me about these sexual fantasies you were having with your wife?
What?
Oh, wait. No, that's right. This is Comaholics. Forgot about that.
That's a different disorder.
Right, right.
Welcome back, folks.
We switched back to beer.
We did?
Yes.
Oh, I still got scotch. Damn.
Oh, you still have a little bit of scotch left?
Oh, yeah.
Well, hurry up.
Oh, I'm in no hurry.
Drink it.
Drink it. Use it. Awakening.
So, yes, now we're looking at Archaea. This is Awakening Volume 1. There's two volumes of this in hardcover. This actually started out as a monthly comic, and they got out, I think, 3 issues. And then Archaea actually stopped to restructure the company and took, like, 18 months off from publishing.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
Holy cow, that's some serious restructuring.
When they came back, the... maybe it was 8 months. I don't know. But anyway, when they came back, the people who were doing Awakening said, well, you know, we can either start, you know, put out issue 4 of the comic, or we can just go ahead and do the hardcover. Mm-hmm. And they decided to just jump ahead and go ahead and do the hardcover.
So they do single issues with volume 2?
No. They only did single issues for the first 3 issues.
And then so volume 2, they waited till they compiled the complete volume.
Right.
And that's it, just the 2 volumes, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And, well, first of all, let's talk about the artwork.
Wow.
What do you think, Keith? Because you haven't read it yet. You're just seeing it for the art, so you'd be a good judge.
These guys, I mean, they're using artwork to set mood. It's very dark, which I like.
The style
switches from very soft to very angular,
yeah,
almost Picasso-like.
It kind of depends on what's going on in the story, depending on how the artwork looks.
Real/surreal.
That's
how I can describe
dream.
It.
Yeah,
there's some realism, some of it is like a
collage using photos and painted elements together, drawn elements together. Yeah, I mean
that's awesome.
There are full pages of this book. Of the actual storyline that would work as standalone just paintings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something you would just, on a canvas, you'd hang on your wall. You'd be like, that's artwork.
This, you know what, this image right here, towards the end.
Of the devil?
Haunted me.
The devil just sitting there?
It was so artfully done.
Jesus.
There are pages of text of him, like, typing in his log, in his journal, what's going on. There are pages that look like just stuff torn out of newspapers, you know, just headlines and whatever. I mean, it jumps all over the place.
And I have to say, you can tell that it was, because you know me and frame flow. I've talked about frame flow before and how I don't like it when I don't know the direction of the artwork and where it's going from frame by frame. And it's considering the context and the choice of art they decided to do this in, it flows really well.
Mm.
Because some of these frames stand alone, it's almost too much, but they make it work going from one to the next. Because like I said, it's like they'll do like a sense of realism, just a small snidbit where you'll see a
snidbit.
Where you'll see, like, a picture, yes, the fist pounding down on the paper. That looks real.
And then the rest of it is.
And then it fades into, and you also see it in, like, a lot of the landscape from in the towns.
Like, with the shots of the city, the sidewalk, people
walking
down the
street. Well, the very beginning when he describes the town that he investigates, you know. this like factory. It looks like outside of Springfield.
Right.
You know? So that looks like our power plant. And then it like fades into the car, looks very real. But then like the frames and how they mesh, it adds a sense of surrealism.
So do you think it follows that rule that we've talked about before where each panel kind of pushes the eye to the next panel, pushes the eye to the next panel, pushes it down? Does it have that feel to it?
I think it has to in order for this artwork to work. And it does.
Okay, well that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Yeah, overall, I have to say, look at the credits. Who's the artist on that? Look on the inside. Don't look at the cover. Look at the flaps. Who's the artist?
It's Nick Kaplan.
Is that the artist or the writer?
Alex Ekman-Long.
Alex Ekman-Long. Which I think in the back they talk about him. Graduate University of Arts in 2007. BA in Illustration. Lust for Blood. Alright. Since graduation, pounced in the art world like a ravenous wolf. Wow. I wonder if he got to write his own.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking he did write his own bio.
He's like, okay, I'll let you add my picture, but I get to write the bio. And then this Nick character, I guess he's from like
writer. Nick Kaplansky?
Nick Kaplansky. Thank you. Born in 83. These guys,
graduated from high school.
That's the tidbit you pull out of there. 83, I started second grade.
Yeah, from New York City.
Okay, so the artwork definitely different. It's not like anything you've really ever seen before. The way it changes styles, it's very much, to me, I don't know if it's just, this only stands out to me, but to me it felt like an art school project, in a sense, where he's doing a lot of different things, experimenting with different things, different styles, different artworks. But I mean, it works. It's all beautiful. Like, it really comes together well.
And the writing style does find a way to work into it and still make sense. And that's a very challenging. Kudos to the writer on this. Mm. Because the artwork in here is very challenging. And you could get lost in it. Like, you know, this is not a comic, a graphic novel where I can flip through the pages and kind of get an idea.
You gotta look at this for a while and absorb.
Kind of get an idea of what's going on.
Right, there's no skimming.
There's gotta be a creative writing style to explain this. And you know, I think Nick Kaplansky does it really well in this. So,
it's hard to tell a lot of times, like, if the script said, hey, this part needs to be sketchy and not fit together as
no
well.
No problem.
Because like, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell at what point does the writer tell him what to put down on the page and at what point does the artist take over. Because, I don't know, does the script,
you know, that's
mention,
why, I mean,
does the script mention, though, like, when this part changes, the artwork should look different? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, this guy's getting his ass chewed out by his boss here.
Right.
On the phone.
And that's how I feel.
It's blocky. It almost looks like wood cut.
He's shaking. Yeah. These are like.
Well, and I think that's that fine line between.
Right.
That's that fine line between what we, in our heads, is real and what we see is surreal. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, it looks normal.
You know what this reminds me of? I went up to the Chicago Museum of Contemporary Art, and it was like an art. It does remind me of like an art project.
Yeah, because it's
almost too creative.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's almost like
if they were to like do this and
push.
Yeah,
but
show me the envelope.
The thing is, most people
push the band.
Most people are not going to buy this book.
Shame on them.
But
get out there and get this book.
People reading Deadpool.
No, they're not going to pick this.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's read Deadpool. I picked it up.
But not everybody who reads Deadpool, you know?
And they had a 2-for-1 at C2E2. That's why I picked this sucker up, actually.
And so you wouldn't have gotten it otherwise?
No, I picked it up and I looked at the art and I was like, wow, this is crazy stuff. Was it Cynthia? Is that her name, Cynthia, with the mask?
Oh, the crazy lady
that
no one would pay attention to?
Well, long story short, because we really haven't talked about the premise.
Yeah, I guess maybe at some point we should kind of talk about the plot a little bit.
It's another murder mystery, kind of.
And it's
with
also,
a zombie twist.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's also zombies, but it's not traditional zombies. One thing, I did review this
they
book.
They don't attack in packs.
Well, here, wait, hold on a second. I did review this book last summer for the Pop Culture Network in a video series we did all about Archaea. We did 1 week of reviewing Archaea every day. And Awakening was one of the books I covered for doing that review. And I said, it's a different take on a zombie story. Whereas your regular zombie books, usually they start out kind of slow and then they build into, you know, it's like the zombie bites one person. So then there's two zombies. And then there's four zombies. And then
it doesn't necessarily happen this way.
No, this is the complete opposite. This is a small town. One person gets bit and then there's no more attacks for like 3 weeks. You know, it goes to the next month. And then the next month, someone else gets bit. And they have a little bit of information about what happened the first time by the time the second time comes around. So it's this slowly unraveling thing. Like this book, like the, you know, six chapters, whatever, collected into this volume one, this is like 6 months of time covered in this one book. So it's not like, well, on Tuesday, Jim Bob got bit, and on Wednesday, the high school was overrun by zombies. You know, it's much more like, out in the middle of nowhere, it attacks
one
person.
Well, and in the end, don't you find it kind of goes global a little bit? Isn't there like some
Well, he talks about like...
It's like, not just this town is the problem.
Right, right. Yeah. Like, it may have... This experiment that set this off may have been also going on.
Well, this hardcover gives... this volume one gives more of a sense of character build and... You're kind of won over by this detective and what he's going through. And then there's also another guy that's brought in from the federal government to investigate what's going on. But he himself wasn't given any kind of, well, you think from what you're reading that he isn't given any kind of prior knowledge of what's going on here. So he's learning himself along with this local detective, and they're trying to figure out what's going on here. I thought it was Cynthia. I can't remember what her name is. The woman that comes up to the detective.
Well, here. Okay, I'll find it.
And she comes to him and confides in that, you know, she's seen a zombie eat her neighbor or something, you know. And everybody thinks she's a nutbag. And she worked for this factory, this pharmaceutical factory. And she's convinced that the pharmaceutical factory is responsible for all these zombies. Because they were dabbling in some... drugs that were to cure Alzheimer's or something like that. Some kind of mind drug. So, yeah.
I'm following you.
Yeah. Names aren't
important.
Pharmaceutical
companies always make good bad guys.
So the cop
Cynthia's
and the federal agent are trying to figure out, okay, so is this really have to do with this pharmaceutical company? What's going on here?
Well, yeah.
Is this random? Is this a serial killer?
Like, there could be, like, you get this feeling.
What I'm getting at is it's really not your traditional zombie.
No, not at all.
It's more of a murder mystery that happens to do with these random bitings and people like their entrails getting ripped out. What happened? I don't know. Must have been a zombie.
Well, but I feel, you know? I feel like there's, it's almost like there's another level of this story that's going on. Like if they could tell the same story from a different perspective of this, like government agency versus this corporation.
Right.
Like, you know, like there could be this other.
What, turn into Wildstorm?
Kind of.
Wildcats?
But
like Wildcats?
But it's like you kind of get this idea, because like, take the Resident Evil video games. In Resident Evil, it's always like, oh, you're stuck in a mansion, and there's these zombies, and you gotta kill them, you gotta get out, blah, blah. But then there's also this other storyline of the Umbrella Corporation.
Raccoon.
And, yeah, how they, this experiment in Raccoon City that, you know, went awry, and then, but it's like, that's not the focus of the game so much, you just find like these tidbits. And it's like, I kind of get this idea that the storyline, you've got this government agency
that's kind of doing some shady things. They have some information. They're not sharing with the guy who's working for him. He's trying to figure this out. They know something that they're not sharing. You have this giant corporation doing these experiments. Like, it's almost like there could be a parallel story going on that this doesn't really dive into. You're seeing this on the street level. There could be like this other big conspiracy.
Well, you're seeing it from the investigator trying to put it together.
Right.
Because the investigator, he's going out there, he's pounding the pavement, talking to the locals, and a lot of these people were hired temps that worked for this factory.
Right.
The actual corporate people was very few, and all of a sudden the factory shut down immediately. Everybody was fired, and then all of a sudden these random bitings occurred.
So it's like maybe they weren't really a factory. It was part of an experiment.
Right.
You know, you get that whole...
And all of a sudden the government moves in really quickly, too.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like this.
But I have to say I had to read this twice.
Yes. Oh, I read it three times.
It's a very difficult graphic novel.
Right. And part of it is because of the time, you go from chapter 2 to chapter 3, and it could be 3 weeks later. And stuff has happened in the meantime. Because there's a lot where he starts in on something, and then he goes, oh, this is all happening because of, and it goes 2 days earlier. And gives you the lead up. So you have that first little segment where you're reading this, and there's certain points you're like, what the heck is going on? Like, why is he talking to this person? But then, 5 pages later, it goes, well, 2 days earlier... And then he talks about meeting that person and going through all that stuff. So you're like, oh, okay, well, that's where they came from. But the story isn't laid out in that real easy to follow day one, day two, day three, day four that you're used to. It gives you day one, day five, like day two, day six.
January 25th, February 4th.
Yeah. Right, yeah. You're constantly kind of jumping around through these different things. And so, you know what? It makes you think.
Yes, I hate it when I'm reading a comic and they're like, okay, January 1st. And I'm like, oh great, now I remember this was January 1st.
Let me get out the calendar.
And then like 3 issues later, they're going to do a flashback to like December 25th, you know?
Right. And you can't just think about the fact that this happened before. It's
no.
Like, well, did you this happen say before past. That day?
Look at this past.
Right.
I don't know. Whatever.
But I mean,
well,
it's because that goes into the
really
whole.
Means anything.
No.
It's just to give you a point of
perspective.
Right.
Don't get lost in dates.
But you're finding the pieces of those clues. It's like you, as the reader, are trying to piece together the story as much as the guy in the story is trying to piece together this mystery of what's causing these attacks. So it's like you have to put a lot of thought and work into it, and you find yourself going, "Well, the guy in this story has to put a lot of thought and effort into what he's." Trying to make sense of this stuff.
Well, oh, you know what? I remember now there were some things I want to talk about this in relation to the art. Is the reason I think that it's a plus, and I think I touched on it earlier, was it challenges the writer.
Hmm.
When you've got artwork like this, you've got to have some very creative writing.
Yeah, you can't just do Superman.
Otherwise, you end up just getting lost.
No.
Punches the asteroid and
space. I hate you. I'm going to punch you now. No. This is, it was well written.
So I'm going to say that's a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Thumbs up definitely. For Awakening.
I can't wait to read it. We'll have to do volume 2.
Yeah, I have volume 2. So.
Okay, well, there
so
we go.
We'll be able to cover that.
Listen,
in the future.
I have volume
2. They gave it to me as a review sample.
I might let you privy it later. Okay, so.
Privy.
Wow. No, scotchy, scotch, scotch, scotch. I like scotch.
Alright. Well, folks, we're going to take another quick break, and then when we come back, we'll be talking about...
What? What's your name? Oh, okay. Huh?
That one's really loud. What was that?
What are you doing?
Freak?
Mulva.
Dolores! Alright, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back, we're going to talk about The Killer, also from Arkea. This is Comaholics. We're drunk.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass, and if you love toys, come check out my show, Not Mitten Box, every Tuesday on the Pop Culture Network.
Hi, I'm Jekyll.
And I'm Shekel.
Welcome
to...
Oh, is that not what we were doing?
For me to poop on.
Wow, that's okay. Pop culture mix blender is right there.
The blenderin, a pop culture mix blenderin.
Here, I tell you what, let's just
blender.
Keep mixing. Let's just keep mixing it up. No soup for you. Think of something else pop culture to throw in there.
I want to go to town and get the power converters.
I'm the king of the world. Come on, throw something in. Come on, throw something in this blender.
Well, isn't that a goddamn geographical oddity? We're 2 weeks from everywhere.
I'm a Dapper Dan man.
Help me, Jeebus. All right, we're back, folks.
Eepa.
Eepa. Eepa. All right.
How much for one rib?
$3.50.
All right.
I told that Loch Ness Monster, $3.50.
Okay, well.
Anybody still listening out there?
We're fine.
Hello.
For this episode.
No, we're okay. All right. Actually, I'm assuming that we picked the killer for last because it's the best.
Not necessarily. Because
you decided to pick
it. I said it should go on last. I felt killer should go on last. I don't know if I necessarily liked it more than Awakening, though.
Okay.
It's different. It's different, and it's very good. It's a very high level of quality. I may be more inclined to go with the horror as opposed to the
Let's
the
add
spy
a little backstory to this. The Killers started in, 2004 from France?
Right, right. It was originally published.
04, 05?
It's sometime ago. Several years, half a decade.
A long, long time ago.
And there are three volumes out now.
Right.
We're going to take a look at...
The third one just started, right?
It just started or just ended?
Well, I've got this issue here.
I thought it just ended.
This is one of six. I picked that up at C2E2.
Well, yeah, but how old was it at C2E2?
I don't know.
Well, that makes a very
Why is the sky blue?
Distinction here.
That's it, so.
April 2010. That was a year ago.
Okay, well.
So six is probably out.
Done.
Yeah, so
done.
Three is done.
Okay.
So, this is the first volume is what we're looking at today. And the first volume was 10 issues.
Mm-hmm.
But technically, I think there were four story arcs in the 10 issues.
They were in twos, so.
Was it always a part one, part two?
It was fives.
Was it always part
five.
One, part two?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, well. Anyway then, this, originally published in France, in French,
mm-hmm.
and then it was translated and brought over here.
And I found myself, when he said yes, going, oui.
I don't know about that necessarily.
I did, like,
but. I did notice there were a couple spots where the English wasn't quite.
It didn't
right.
translate well.
Right.
A couple times.
There were a couple spots where I'm reading it.
And I almost thought to myself, why didn't they just go ahead and just make the linguistical change?
And
Did they do it just to make the point that, oh, we're translating this to English?
Actually, I think it's one of the people who worked on the book actually did the translation. Where's my friend? Oh, no, 1998. The first one came out in 1998. So, it was written.
Oh, no, you actually hit both of them. It's okay.
It was written by Matt, illustrated by Luc Jacquemont, who apparently.
Excuse me?
The artist also did the translation.
Right.
Oh,
so it wasn't like somebody else not familiar with the story did it.
It was somebody who wasn't familiar with
English. So I'm pretty sure he's French.
Right.
And like Jean-Luc Picard. But
he's a Scotsman, right?
But he did the translation. So I'm pretty sure that English is a second language because there were a couple spots where it didn't make a whole lot of sense. Just like one word was wrong or words were out of order or whatever.
Well,
but having said that, if I had to translate something into French, he did a much better job coming to us. But I just felt like that's important to point out because some people who don't pay attention to those details be like this seems a little weird. Well, it's just translation.
I when I read this, I was like, okay, so how am I going to break this down? Because to review something like this, it's pretty simple. I flew through it. You know, I mean, it was
this
very
guy's a hitman.
Yeah, the guy's a hitman. You know, there's a protagonist. He's your protagonist, even though he's not a good guy. Right. You know, he has his antagonist, and he's trying to figure them out. You're trying to figure them out as the reader.
We need to fix that. Okay, so anyway, for me, I have to say, well, let's just say this. Starting with kind of an overall big picture. The first issue, I was really kind of like, meh. It's him. I sit. I wait. The days tick by.
I go shopping.
I could be going crazy, but I could not. I am a killer.
I'm a killer.
You know?
If I go to the Eiffel Tower one more time, I will throw myself off.
But there's that sense that...
I'm rusty.
I can understand on the overall picture, when you get to the end of the final issue, the first issue makes a lot more sense than when you're reading the first issue for the first time.
Okay.
Because it's very much written with the overall story in mind.
Right. And the overall story is, he is a killer with his own sense of moral code. And that code changes for him at the end of this.
And he's getting into that mode where he wants to retire, he wants to...
In the parlance of our pop culture time, it's very much like Dexter, where if you watch the first couple seasons, where the character evolves in the end.
Right.
Where the character, like, has a code where, like, I am a loner, I cannot be, you know, a part of society. Society sucks. Look at these guys, they're all parasites. Who would want to, like, have a relationship and have a girlfriend and then, like... It changes for him.
Right.
Because I think, like, all of a sudden he realized the levity and the weight of himself being a killer and the power that he has and the capability that he doesn't... I don't think he understands truly how capable he is until the end. I was actually really...
Well, okay, I'll say this. At the beginning of the book, he talks about being independent. But he's not really independent.
No.
He has a handler. He works off the job.
He becomes smarter. He gets smarter.
When he gets to the end of that first volume, he is much more, I'm doing this because I want to get this guy. You know? I'm doing this because it's the right thing to do. I'm doing this because I'm trying to make a future for myself.
His moral judgment changes.
So he actually, at the end of the book, is more independent than he is at the beginning.
Right.
And you realize, at the beginning, where he's talking about, I make my own hours, I do my own thing, it takes as much time as I want to, which, when you're young, you think, oh, I'm going to be independent, I'm going to do this, 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 but you're really still mooching off your parents, you know, you're going back home to do laundry, even though you live in your own place, you know, stuff like that. We would come to your house, actually, and play D&D, so we could do laundry in your kitchen.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why we would come to your house.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do get that feeling like he's grown from the beginning of the book because he does start a relationship.
Right.
He does have a girl, and he doesn't just toss her out at the end of using her. You know, she sticks around for a while.
Oh, and she is smoking.
Yeah. I concur.
She is smoking.
And so you do get that feeling like he has grown. Okay. It definitely feels like this is a character that, A, I've come to know.
Right.
Whereas in the beginning of the book, he says, I'm anonymous, right. I am every man, blah, blah, blah.
It starts off with a blank slate of a cold-blooded killer, and the writing style makes you fall in love with the character.
Because he
evolves into a moral person.
So it also, getting to the end of the 10th issue of volume 1, I saw the first two or three issues a little differently. And I have to say, when I started reading this, the first time I read issue 1, I was like,
right.
And then the first time I read issue 2, I was like, meh. First time I read issue 3, I'm like, well, okay.
What happens in 4?
And then you get through 4, and you're like, yeah, and then 8, and then 5, 6, 7. So when you get to like 8 or 9 or 10, then you look back at those first issues, and I realized when I had read the first issue the first time, I had kind of a negative view of the series, because I was like, eh, I don't get it. Like, who cares? You know? But by the time I got to the end, I was fondly remembering reading the first issue.
Right.
Like, I suddenly realized my perception of it had changed by the time I got to the end.
Do you think it was an intentional hook?
It's intentional for people who are in it for the long haul, who are going to follow the character. I don't know if it was necessarily his thought that
a publishing hook.
Right.
Right.
I don't think anybody was like, oh, well, now I'm hooked into it because I've seen this change over five issues. Because most people are going to read one, two, maybe three, and then, quit.
Right. Well, it's one of those things where I really feel that, you know, Archaea does volumes well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I could see this in a collection. You know. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
We talked about Archaea a little bit with Awakening a moment ago. We talked about how they are great publishers. As people who put out paper products,
mm-hmm.
people who put out books that you actually buy and put on your bookshelf, Archaea is unmatched.
The other thing I want to, going back to the art part of this, is the landscape. It takes you there right away. Like,
well, and the colors, the way they color things, because you can tell that when there are scenes where they're in South America and they're sitting around the table and they're sipping their iced tea and the shadows are falling.
Two towers.
And, New York with two towers. Yeah, that's how old he is. But you can tell that when he drew it, he drew a tree and he drew the people sitting there. But then when they did the colors is when they added in the shadows
mm-hmm.
falling down. There's a lot added by the colors of this book.
It strikes me like an Oriental style of artwork. In fact, that's what I thought it was until you told me the guy was from France and came out in French originally.
Yeah, I can see that because the Japanese, the paper tapestries.
And it's like you see like a European version interpretation of Times Square here.
Yeah.
Right, because that's not.
It's like a Japanese style done in Europe.
Right.
Actually, the classic French style is a lot like that Japanese style. Yeah,
okay.
It is that way.
Amazing.
Because, stuff like this looks like right out of, like, Heavy Metal Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's where a lot of that European style comes from. And there's a lot of, boobies. Mm-hmm. You got some bare butt going there on that
my,
one.
Oh my.
You know,
what's she doing down there?
Well, she's European, you know, so.
Oh
no, she's not. She's like South American.
Oh yeah, she's.
Oh,
like,
that's just what they do.
She's Venezuelan or Colombian.
When in Rome.
But there's also one thing I like about this story is that there are parts when he talks about being a killer, and he. Okay, stop looking at the strippers.
What? It's in the comic.
But there's a lot of times where he's talking about his moral code. And how he decides who lives and who dies. And then he talks about, like they go to New York. And he talks about in New York, everything's disposable. The excess that everybody throws away.
Mm-hmm.
There are other parts where he's talking about South America. He's talking about the Spanish conquerors coming through,
mm-hmm.
slaughtering everybody. But then he goes, well, it happened with the Chinese. It happened with the Russians.
It's
it happened
everybody.
With the French. It
everybody.
Happened with, yeah.
Everybody.
Everywhere you go, there's some sort of problem. And he... In the beginning of the book, sees that as a world view. It's like everybody's flawed, everybody's a killer. It's just he's chosen that as his profession, as opposed to a soldier on the battlefield. Okay, now you're looking at boobies.
They're all over it. I'll tell you what: if you like boobies, like artfully drawn boobies, just
it's
buy
tasteful.
The killer.
It's artful and tasteful.
It is. It's not dirty, raunchy.
It's not expensive.
No, no.
Don't let the kids read it, but.
And you know, you fall in love with the character, though. I really fell in love with the character.
Yeah, well, again, at the beginning of
and
the book...
And he's so smart. Like, you... And not to go back to Dexter again, which I guess I must
well,
really
Dexter
be... Dexter
actually,
or,
actually...
Or Harrison Ford and Blade Runner.
Actually,
yes,
actually...
The reluctant
you,
killer.
I'm,
yes.
But wait,
it
wait,
has
wait,
to be
wait, wait,
yes.
I want to take this a step further. There's a better example currently on TV. Burn Notice. Have you ever seen Burn Notice?
Oh, no.
It's about the spy... who gets blacklisted by the agency, he gets cut off, and he's got to find out who cut him off, who got...
Oh,
right. Suddenly he was the fall guy. Kind of. Except when Bird Notice, he's always doing, like, A-team type of stuff to help people. He's like, oh, this person's hurt,
oh,
I better go
yeah,
tell
yeah, I have seen that show.
And okay. And he's always narrating. He's always like, you know, the best place for a spy is a dark alley. In a dark alley, you can,
that's
you know, take the weapons out of four people. But that's the feeling they had going through this book. where he's a killer, and he talks about, you know, a crocodile is a great weapon.
Right.
And he talks about the crocodile's nature's perfect.
And he always goes back to the crocodile.
And the crocodile, blah, blah, blah. But then he kills a guy and leaves him for the crocs to dispose of the body. So he's been talking about crocodiles all this time to set up for this one kill that you get to. So you're reading this for a while and like, okay, crocodiles, we get it. You like them. You get off on crocodiles. Who cares? But then he kills a guy.
And uses
the crocodiles to dispose of the body. So it's like, it leads up to something. It's not just crazy narration of this crazy guy. Yeah. You see that he has a plan.
Right.
He's always got something worked out two steps ahead.
Yeah, and you want him to succeed.
Oh, yeah. You get to the end and you're like, yeah, go get those guys. Go kill them. I want them dead.
And I want him to, like, be with the girl in the end. You know, it's just like one of those things. Like,
yeah, because you're also pulling for her because she gets hurt at one point.
I love her character because she's like, I don't give a hoot what you do.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't care
the church. But you know what? It also makes me think, in the end, do you think she's a narc? Do you think it's all a setup?
Or she could be used against him, that she could be captured, I almost...
Yeah, because that would be his heart. That would be his weakness.
Well, let me put it this way. What if she's a Black Widow? That was a thought I had.
Too.
He's a killer. He's cold-blooded. He does whatever. He falls in love. He becomes soft. He wants to retire. He wants to get out of it. And then she whacks him because she just marries dudes and kills him.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wars, whoever is the master.
See, I was thinking more. I was thinking more like she was like her. Yeah, she was right. Like a Fed or CIA.
Yeah,
and then he has to go back to his code and kill her.
Yeah, I don't know. But there's a lot of possibilities when you get to the end of this. And the fact that we can all read these different things into it it just shows you like how well done, because this is a very real story.
Right.
Like this is a real guy. This is like Born Identity type of thing. Where it's like, I go into Born Identity and think, Matt Damon. Who cares?
Matt Damon.
This guy could be us, man.
But yeah, when you get to the end of it,
yeah,
you're like,
a very nondescript looking guy.
Yeah, it's like you're pulling for the guy because you're like, it's just the matters.
He took a turn in his life. He had sex with that one girl and she tipped him off to like this job. And he took it, killed a guy.
And that worked for him. You found your groove. And everybody finds that point in your life where, I remember the other day, Kelly came home one day, and she's like, oh my God, I have a career. I said, what do you mean? You've been doing the same job for 10 years. Of course you have a career. And she's like, no, this is my career. Like, I just realized, like, this is it. You know, this is
boy,
what I
she's
am.
Quick.
Yeah, well, you know. But the difference being, like, this is my job versus this is my career.
Exactly.
Right. And so it's that idea where he opens up, and he is the killer that all the books say this is what a hitman is like, because that's what a hitman is like, so that's what he has to be. But then he becomes more human as the story progresses.
Well, he becomes more social.
Well, that's what I mean by human.
Right.
He enters
himself back into society after being a killer for several years. And he decides that he, in the end, by issue 10, he decides that he's going to have a core group of people that he trusts.
Right.
They're like his wolf pack. You know.
Almost Gross Point Blank without the jokes.
Right.
Yeah, very much. The killer with the heart.
But don't you
gold.
Just, like, love the character? Like, I want this guy to, like, kill a bunch of people and come out, like, smell like roses.
Right.
You know?
Make a bunch of money and be able to retire. And
like, sit back. Yeah. It's like, I want him to be me, man. Without all the killing, but you know.
Well, yeah, because there's the part. There's the part at the end. He grabs the final guy. I can't think of the dude's name, Byrick or whatever it was.
The guy that's like ultimately.
No, Worm. Is that what
Worm,
it is?
Worm. Is Worm. Yeah.
And he captures the guy, and he's kind of like beating him up, trying to get, you know, the information, extracting the information.
You know,
he's
gonna kill him.
Yeah. Well, it's like A, you know that. But you still kind of care how this turns out. Like, is he going to get the information he needs? Or is this going to be a dead end leading to another search? You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm not only trying to get closer to the resolution of the story, but I'm trying to get to the resolution of the story because I want this character to succeed. Whereas issue one, going back, I read issue one, and I'm like, I don't care about this guy. Who cares? You know?
They started with a baseline. I felt like that's the way they did. They started like,
because
okay,
here's your introduction.
Yes.
These are all your preconceived notions of the character.
Clean slate.
Right, right. And so when you think hitman,
oh,
this is
killer.
What you think of. And
bad
is
guy.
Exactly what
who
he
cares?
Is.
You know? He might just be off.
Right. And then, but then it grows and builds and builds. And it builds in a way that never feels forced.
Oh. He meets a guy, the guy's an ex-cop. He lives upstairs. His wife, or his girlfriend, whoever, is like, hey, you should hang out with him. It'd be nice to have somebody in the force. He gets kicked off the force. There's a conspiracy. There's, you know, and you care about that guy, too. And you're like, I want that guy to get revenge on the people who framed him for, you know, supposedly beating up on a guy who he didn't beat up on. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. More booty. Like,
booty.
It's booty.
More naked people.
Fornication, people.
But, oh. But yeah, it's like the side characters. You know, the chick, he meets that girl. He talks at one point like, well, I can have any girl I want. I'd have her for the night, never talk to her again. So it's like there's this girl.
But you never see any other girl in his life. It's just her.
Well, he does hit on a couple. But...
No, but I mean, that's his
but
girl.
Yeah, but it's like she, once she enters the picture, and he's like, I can use whoever
and
I want.
I love
and she never leaves.
I love the mutual respect between them. Like, she knows he's a hitman. He knows that she knows he's a hitman.
And he knows that she's probably like an ex-prostitute.
Right.
You know,
or whatever. He doesn't even care. She doesn't care.
Right.
They're it's just, like, when they're together, they're fine.
It's very European.
Yes.
It's very European.
I need to go there.
I know.
I'm so tired of it.
Tell me about your past.
No.
I am an ostrich.
This is what I do now.
No.
What does he always keep saying? He's like, works for like a, non-for-profit.
He tells people he works for a humanitarian
organization.
Right.
Which I think is beautiful.
Great cover story. But yeah, I mean, there's.
And I love
it. Could you instantly think?
Yawn.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of that, I also like the whole banter that he has about his secret identity when he's talking to the Colombian drug lords.
Oh. About his secret identity?
Yes.
When he tells people he's rich and powerful or whatever. he's like, yeah. You know, the movie's about the hitman never dies at the end. So you know it's a joke. It's never gonna work out, right? And he's totally saying to that guy, you're gonna be dead long before I'm dead.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know, he's making the joke right there. He's like, I may kill you at some point.
Right.
Who knows? It's just the nature of my job. Yeah, I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
Like, that is wonderful.
No, it's brilliant writing. I think the art, like, the scenes, like, when he's, like, flying over, like, Colombian hills and stuff, really pretty.
Well, and he tells the guy in, like, Brazil or whatever, yeah, you guys are cutting down all your rainforest. That's crazy. He's like, yeah, and you're from France where everybody pees in the river that they bathe in.
Right, you know, yeah. It's all broke down. And, like,
yeah, it's like everybody's going
to Well, yeah, because there's definitely a social clash.
Well, because there was part of it where he's talking about America. Yeah, in America, they just waste everything, and they killed all the Indians, and they think they own
right.
it. And I'm kind of like, oh, it's another one of these guys.
No, but it's
But then
not.
He says it about the Chinese.
Right.
And then he says it about the French. And he says it about the English. And he says it about the Zimbabweans. And, you know, whatever. It's like, he doesn't care.
Right.
And I really find that refreshing. I really like that. Even though it's 12 years old.
So you still think it's equal to Awakening?
Yes.
It's,
no, yes.
I think it's
no,
better.
No, no, I say,
I think it's better.
It's different.
It's different. They're different things.
Apples and oranges.
They're different. Because that's like saying, what's better, a five-star meal.
Okay, let me put it this way. If it was issue to issue, which one would you be more excited to pull next?
Well, oh, you mean from the next issue?
From the two. If Awakening was like broke down and you were reading it from one issue to the next, versus The Killer, one issue to the next. Which one would you be like, oh, I can't wait till that one comes out next week or next month?
Oh, man.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I hate you.
Because I know what you're going to say. The Killer. Thank you. Come on.
I'm thinking. Well, because it's also... It's also one of those things where I feel like The Killer is one of those books that something we were talking about earlier. I was talking about buying DVDs. And I was talking about how I used to buy every movie I wanted to watch on DVD. I just bought the DVD. Maybe I watched it once. Maybe I watched it 100 times. Doesn't matter. I just bought them.
I got them. I haven't even watched them.
Yes.
I haven't even unwrapped them.
I do have some. I do have some that are still in the shrink wrap.
But someday.
I
but you had to have, like, Bowfinger.
No,
I
love
Bowfinger. Bowfinger.
No, Bowfinger's awesome. I love
it. I had to get it. I was like, I have to buy that.
It was $3 at Walgreens. Are you kidding me?
I don't care about it. I bought it for $20.
I need some pencils to make it really sharp.
Really sharp.
This is awesome.
This is awesome.
You're a great actress.
She really likes me.
Okay, so anyway.
Wonderful.
But there are some that it's like I watch and they're really good, but I don't know how many times in my life I, like 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Okay, alright, so what you're saying is like if you were to like have to read Awakening over and over again or The Killer.
The Killer I would read over and over again.
Okay.
Like Awakening I look at like 2001 Space
Odyssey. So is that yes, what, is that what you're saying that you would that Killer The Killer weighs more? Look,
well, the
see, all right.
Is more easily
it is so hard to get Dirt to make an admission. I'm putting him to the test here.
All right.
I want Dirt to. I want him because
okay.
He said earlier on that this was an equal par. Well,
all right. Here's the deal. You get three questions, but you have to ask three questions.
Okay.
I will answer truthfully, yes or no, but you have to ask three if you're going to ask one. So, ask a question.
I've asked three questions.
Okay, so first question. On issue by issue, mm-hmm. month to month.
Okay.
I would probably read The Killer first because I know it's more enjoyable in that one moment right there. Whereas Awakening is one of those I might save up a couple issues to digest them together, or I might wait until I have time to reread one or two issues before and then read that new issue. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So The Killer I'd probably read first because I knew I could read it right then, right there, and I'm going to get
So which one would you read over and over again?
That would be The Killer.
Okay. So we're 2-0 here. Okay.
So third question.
Which one would you talk about the most?
I would probably talk about Awakening.
Okay.
More. Because I think it's a deeper story.
So the lasting impression you would have between the two, a year from now when we're in Comaholics episode 18, which...
In 1 year, we're 6 episodes
ahead. Please, Lord. Oh, by the way, I have a bet with Dirt that if we make it a full year, I'm going to find somebody to make a neon sign for the Comaholics
HQ.
Oh,
that's right.
That says Comaholics HQ.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to do a video episode at some point.
Yes. Well, we're getting there. I think the headquarters is almost flipping the bill at this point.
Well, yeah, but we also do, like, hour-long shows.
I gotta say, like, Awakening is a work of art. Whereas, you know, The Killer, I agree. You could read it over and over again.
Right. It's a quick read.
Right. It's like the difference between 2001 Space Odyssey and Bourne Identity. Bourne Identity is on USA Network at 8 o'clock one night. You're like, okay, whatever.
2001 is on IFC.
Right, it's like, I've seen it this year.
Well, once every 10 years I'll watch it.
Okay.
Well, I bought the Blu-ray. That's one of the first Blu-rays I bought, was 2001. Because I'm like, for a high-definition TV and a high-definition player, 2001 Space Odyssey is one of the top movies you can get for that. But I haven't watched it since I bought it. So I bought it. It's been like a year and a half. It's about time. It's like, it's about time for me to watch 2001 again.
It's just a year.
As opposed to, you know, certain stuff where every, like...
You've got your homework.
I know. Well, but really, I'm at the end of my file. So
thanks for interrupting my thing.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But I caught it all.
I didn't catch it all, too.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Are you going to break down on me now?
2001, blah, 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 blah.
Film snob. I did take
a history of
film clash. Like,
well, so did I. So I think what we're saying here is that overall, if you were to like take a popular vote, you would pick The Killer.
I mean, yeah, The Killer is a much more easily digestible.
It's quick,
fun,
it's quick, yeah,
easily accessible.
Yeah, you really
you've met this man before.
You connect.
I know this guy.
You've seen this guy in movies.
You connect with the protagonist. You really understand where he's coming from, and you really kind of you like the guy. You like the guy.
So now that we're gonna about ready to conclude here, any off the top ideas for next podcast?
Yes.
Ooh, I'd love to hear it. Okay. We have not discussed this at all. I just threw this out here. I wasn't expecting a yes.
Improv.
I was expecting like a, no, we'll talk about this later. Go ahead, Mr. Dirt.
Well, the first thing is I have a book. I got this book from Moonstone Publishing, and it is called Rotten. And it's basically another zombie story. But this one's
set.
But the hook this time, the key on this one, it's set in the Old West. So you have people in isolated communities, not much scientific background or medical history.
Wait, what is Moonstone doing?
Moonstone does like Kolchak, the Night Stalker, Lady Domino, the Spider, the Spirit, stuff that really has a 50s vibe to it. And so it's a Western with zombies.
Okay.
So it feels more like a Western than a zombie story.
I like Cowboys and Aliens.
So this is Rotten, and I think it's issues 1-6 are in the first trade paperback. So we'll talk about that.
Okay.
That'll be the next. Do you have anything? Do you have anything you want to throw in?
Well, I mean, just we've done so much Archaea press.
They give us so many books.
I've got this one, the God Machine, which I just picked it up because I was immediately moved by the art.
That's Archaea?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which
fully painted, it looks like. Oh, I remember. Okay, I know this book.
Okay.
This is Here, let me see this for a minute. Chandra Free.
Yeah, she was there signing, and I missed out on Chandra Free signing.
She has a very whimsical style.
So that's an option. An option.
Because that almost feels like a Nightmare Before Christmas type of style.
Tim Burton.
Yeah, Tim Burton. Yes, that's exactly. So there's that. So we've got Rotten. We've got that. So we'll have to come up with a third thing.
And that doesn't necessarily have to be the second one.
No, we'll do that. We'll do that.
Okay.
We'll cover that one. So,
you know what? Maybe we'll try to, get in, right after we put this up, do our listener's choice again. Give them some more time.
Okay. Well,
last time
killer.
I did that, last time I was like, you have 3 days.
You got 2 responses.
Decide.
Who recommended the
Jansen.
Okay.
Forum member Jansen was talking about the killer. He said, you guys got to cover it. I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure we got a couple issues of that. Am I doing that with my hand? Is that what you're making fun of?
We got covered. Yeah.
Yo, Jansen.
Word out to Jansen.
Jansen on the boards, yo, my brother.
That's
one love.
Boy.
One love. You got to do it.
That's right. 4-3, that's how we roll.
No, actually, thank you. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, I would. I
wouldn't have picked it up if you wouldn't have suggested it.
We were talking about this, and I was going through some old books I had, stuff I had picked up at different conventions, review stuff that had come through that we hadn't really paid any attention to yet. And I found that I had 3 issues of The Killer in my stack of stuff.
And I picked up the first issue of Volume 3 there.
Right, right.
Not even thinking about the whole series at all. I thought it was a brand new, that was the first issue of the first volume, so.
Yeah, so we had stuff from The Killer in our random collections that we had never paid any attention to. So, Jansen, thank you for pointing that out. That turned out to be a good pick. So you get a kudos on that one. Although if you ever pick one and it sucks, then you're out.
Yeah.
That's
how
that
it
works.
That
pretty good.
Yeah. We never talk to you again.
You don't get to recommend books anymore.
Thank you. I just want to thank all of our listeners for chiming in. And next time, we'll as soon as this gets posted, we'll do another listener's choice. Because I like having that. It's nice. Because the whole premise of this show, and it's kind of like the bottom line that we've always stuck to, is, you know, although we mention Marvel and DC and the big guys, we really try to talk about stuff they wouldn't normally read.
Right. Well, because there's a lot
and
of stuff.
Love it or hate it, because we don't always talk about the stuff we love.
And
expose yourself to
something
new.
People who normally buy $3.99 books aren't necessarily going to buy a $20 hardcover.
Right.
And we're saying you should. There's a lot of stuff out there that you don't necessarily pay attention to because you're so focused on, well, what's happening in FF? What's happening in Superman? What's happening in Batman?
All right, folks.
And I'm not...
No, it is a moral imperative that if you love comics, you support writers and artists that don't necessarily fit those big bills. Maybe that's a Scotch talking, and maybe it's a homebrew talking, and I'm getting passionate now, people. Go out there, find something that you wouldn't normally read, and do it.
This has been Book Talk on College Radio 104.9. The Far Right FM. Don't forget, following this, we will have chamber music with the Fabulous Four. And first thing in the morning, we will have round and round of more book talk are highlights from this past year. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to support your local NPR station.
Good evening, BBC World News. This
just in, he's the bee's knees. You've never seen him before, he is Domino McQueen.
All right, I think we've lost you at this point.
But yeah, you know, I mean, I do agree. You need to look for other stuff.
Right, expose yourself to something you wouldn't have normally.
I still read Daredevil. I still read Batman. I still read Superman.
Oh my goodness, you know what I collect. 90% is Marvel.
You collect crap.
Crap?
Oh, hurt my soul.
In your home.
I know. In the HQ. All right. He's just mad because I collect a lot of mainstream, but I like to review a lot of alternatives.
No, I'm not saying that's any sort of fun. I'm just more of a DC guy. You're more of a Marvel guy.
Chevy Mopar, whatever.
Okay.
Whatever. It's all over the place.
Just because I don't collect Booster Gold, all of a sudden I'm not cool. No. We're going to get back to this Booster Gold thing. Like, I started reading Booster Gold, and I was just like, what is this Booster Gold? It makes no sense. And he got all offended because I'm a Marvel guy, and now all of a sudden, I'm an idiot.
Yeah. So that's accurate. That's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. All right. And we'll see you next week.
I think I lost my partner here.
Oh, boy.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in episode 10.
Don't forget to check out ineedcomics.com, where you can find more comic reviews from Ryan Porter in the Comics Corner. Also, don't forget Comic Nation TV. You can also check out the rest of the Pop Culture Network at popculturenetwork.com, That New Toy Smell, VGLosers.com, and all of our affiliated sites. You can also leave us a voicemail if you want to. It's area code 217-953-4025. That's our 24-hour voicemail line. If you are on Skype, you can give us a call. Find me, Dirt Mound, on Skype. You can also leave us an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com. Don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network forums and check out some of our other podcasts, like It Figures, Wrestling Radio, and some of our video shows, like That New Toy Smell and Stop Making Faces at Me.com.
Because he knows I gotta come up with something next. You could take the donkey, or you could take the tram. It does not matter. It is the same price.
And there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later.